Hello everyone, I just want to welcome you all to our online worship service again today, and it's lovely to see folks coming on. I can see names coming up on Facebook just now, John and Alison, Wilma, Alexis and Pat as well. So a warm welcome to everyone watching, listening today, for those watching on YouTube as well, and also those that catch up later on the telephone who are listening into this service too. I give you a warm welcome. I'm going to be on holiday this coming week, so there won't be a live stream next Sunday, but we will share streams from other churches that have online services next Sunday, which means that our next online service will be an evening service, because we will be having worship in the church building, all being well, unless the government changes things, on Sunday the 25th of October at 10:30 in Mountkirk. Now that's going to be a joint service between Mountkirk and Green at East End Church. So that'll be at 10:30. For those that are coming and maybe have offering in envelopes, there will be two baskets clearly marked at the door, one for Mountkirk and one for Greenock East End. So if you are bringing your envelopes, you'll know which one to put them in. And so that service will be on in the morning, 10:30. So there won't be a live stream at 12 noon that Sunday, but there will be one at 6:30. You will have to book for that service if people forget and they turn up at the door, and we do have places where hopefully won't need to turn you away, but we would ask you to book for that service, and we'll start taking bookings for that at the beginning of that week. You can do that either online through Eventbrite, and I'll post the link on Facebook at the beginning of that week, and also you can also call the manse and just leave your name and phone number and and just tell me how many places you would like to reserve at the service, and that will be booked in for you. And it's 722-338. So if you call that number at the beginning of that week for Sunday the 25th of October, you can book a place at the service. And also for those that maybe aren't able to attend and you're wondering what to do, if you've been saving up envelopes over these past 6 months, if there's someone that you know who is coming that you can give them to, or maybe contact an elder to uplift them, and if they're coming to church they can bring them along, but you can also give by check if you'd like to support the church in that way, or by standing order. And if that's something you would like to do, there was a letter went out recently with the details of that. If you didn't get that, just message myself and we can get you those details if that's something that you would like to do. Okay, I think that's all our notices or whatever I wanted to mention at the beginning of our service out of the way. So we're going to begin a time of worship just with a prayer. So wherever you are watching or listening today, let's join together, still our hearts, and join in prayer. Heavenly Father, on this beautiful Lord's Day, as the sun is shining, we ask your blessing upon us as we begin our time of worship, meeting in our homes, across this town, across Inverclyde, and even those listening and watching from around the world. Lord, may your presence and your peace be with us as we bring our worship, our praise, and our thanksgiving, as we are reminded that you are Almighty God, the Creator and Maker of the heavens and the earth. We are surrounded by such beauty in your creation that speaks so loudly to us of your greatness and your might and your majesty. And as we move from one season into another, as we become more and more aware that we are in autumn and moving into winter, we see the colours on the leaves changing. We see the conkers lying on the ground, the temperature getting that little bit colder, and a reminder of the times and seasons that mark our year. A reminder that we have an amazing creator, the one who made this wonderful world. And even though it is full of flaws and people who do evil things in our world, it is still a beautiful world created by you. Lord, help us to see that beauty, to see your handiwork and your fingers right across this world and this universe. Every time we look out, as we open our curtains in the morning, as we go for a walk, that we are reminded that you are our Lord, that you are our God, the one who made us in your image. Lord, we thank you for the gift, the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son Jesus, our Saviour, our King, who became human flesh and lived among us, born in Bethlehem, lived the one and only perfect sinless life, and gave that life as a sacrifice for us on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we might have eternal life. We thank you that Jesus rose again from the dead, that he does not remain in a grave, that he is alive, and that one day we will join with him for eternity, rising to eternal life with him. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the one who is our friend, the one who is our guide, the one who fills us with your power to do your work in this world, the one who equips us and enables us to obey your commandments, the one who brings the Bible alive that we might hear your word and hear your voice. So Lord, fill us again with your Holy Spirit and bless us in this time of worship. And so as we gather together in prayer, we say the church family prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as we worship together, we have a couple of hymns we're going to sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and then we're going to have a reading from Eden, from Psalm 36. And we filmed this yesterday just as we were walking, I thought it was a lovely spot. It would be really nice for a video and to do a reading over. So you'll see Eden doing that later, and then we're going to sing. It's a beautiful children's hymn called Jesus Strong and Kind. So wherever you are, feel free to join in and sing along.
Having Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? For we should never be discouraged. Come on and take it to the Lord. So faithful, who will all our sorrows share? 'Cause Jesus knows our every weakness. Come and take it to the Lord.
Psalm 36, verses 5 to 9. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the ocean depth. You care for people and animals alike. O Lord, how precious is your unfailing love. O God, all humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see.
Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to Him. No one else can be my strength, I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind.
Jesus said that if I fear, I should come to Him. No one else can be my shield, I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind.
Jesus said, if I am lost, He will come to me. And He showed me on that cross, He will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. For the Lord is good and faithful, He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. Jesus strong.
Okay, our next reading from the Bible is going to be from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. If you have a Bible at home, feel free to follow along. But if you don't, I'll put the words up on the screen for you to follow along as well. So Matthew chapter 7 and reading from verse 1. Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Let's pray together. Lord, as we read your word together, we ask that your Holy Spirit would make your word clear to us, that we would hear your voice speaking powerfully into our hearts and into our minds. Open our ears to hear your voice, to know your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the past few weeks we've been following along a series of messages looking at the parables of Jesus. And as I was explaining a couple of weeks ago, maybe for those who are just watching for the first time today, a parable is a certain way of teaching a truth where, a bit like an onion, there are different layers to it. And as you peel the layers off an onion, There is more underneath. And a parable is a story of about a spiritual truth where on the surface level there is certainly something you will get from it, but the more and deeper that you look into it and understand it, you will see more truth about God, and it reveals more about us. And Jesus chose this method of teaching more than any other way. I mean, he did use metaphors and other things to teach, but parables were the main way that he used to teach spiritual truth. And I think they're so powerful because they're things that ordinary people can relate to. Jesus took the ordinary things of everyday life, situations that people might find themselves in, family situations. He took lots of illustrations from the business world, money, finances, marriage, relationships, the workplace, which is why I think so many ordinary people were just drawn to Jesus, because he taught in a way like nobody had really heard before. And while the religious leaders of the day were puzzled by Jesus, they didn't understand what he was about, what he was trying to do, the ordinary, everyday people were drawn to Jesus. They loved him, they loved to hear him teach and speak. And I think primarily that's because of the way that he taught in a way that people could understand. This parable today is about how we judge one another. On what basis do we judge one another? And when you think about that question for a minute, when you think of perhaps individual people or situations that maybe we've judged in the past, it might be on outward appearance, it might be one particular thing that we have honed in on that that person does or says, and it irks us in some way, we're annoyed by it, or we can see that what that person is doing is wrong and we feel the need to point it out to them. But sometimes what can happen, and perhaps happens often, is that when we hone in on one person's fault that we don't like, we often forget about the 100 other faults that we have ourselves. And that one fault that we see in the life of the other person seems much bigger to us than all of our faults put together. And that's a problem. And that's the problem that Jesus highlights in this parable. So if we turn to the parable just now and see what Jesus actually says here about judging other people. He says, "Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." In other words, Jesus is saying, if you're going to judge someone else, then just be aware that you will be judged by the same standards. Not just by other people, but you will be judged by God. So I don't think Jesus here is saying that we aren't to judge at all or judge anyone, because elsewhere we find in the scriptures that Jesus actually tells his disciples that in certain situations they have been appointed to judge the church, to rule over the early church, to give guidance, to give leadership. And we also see in the letters of Paul there are certain situations where the leaders of the church are to judge situations. So it's not that we are to not to judge, but Jesus is giving us a very stern warning here that before you decide to judge another person, Are you ready to be judged by the same measure, by the same standards? And that should always make us pause and think before we judge anyone. Before we think wrongly of anyone, before we think the worst of them, are we ready to be judged by those same standards? And then Jesus gives a brilliant illustration of this, and in typical style of a Jewish rabbi, you actually see in the writings of other Jewish rabbis of the time that they love to use exaggeration to make a point. And in many of Jesus's parables, he uses exaggeration to make a point, and he takes this to great extremes. And there's supposed to be a bit of irony and humour in all of these as well. We often think of maybe people have an idea of Jesus as being a killjoy or boring, with no sense of humour. And that is not the case at all. There is humour throughout a lot of Jesus' teaching and his parables, and this one in particular. And Jesus says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" Now, when you think about that for a second, you imagine the scenario that there is someone with a plank. I have a plank here. This is a piece of wood. It's a very nice piece of wood. It's some African teak I've been using for building guitars during the lockdown. And if you can imagine, if this is a piece of wood stuck in someone's eye, and they see someone with a piece of sawdust in the other person's eye, and they say, "Excuse me, brother, you have a piece of sawdust in your eye. Let me point it out to you." The fault in your life. While in your own eye, there's a great big plank of wood or log sticking out. I mean, it looks ridiculous, doesn't it? It looks absolutely ridiculous to have a huge log of wood in your own eye and then to be pointing out the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye. And as I found, you know, making these guitars, when you're sanding wood, you create a lot of sawdust and it gets absolutely everywhere. And I've had to wipe sawdust out of my eyes a few times over the past few months. But that speck of sawdust is so tiny, you would actually have to get right up close to someone to even see that speck of sawdust in someone's eye. And yet the plank is going to be so obvious to everybody else. And here is this person looking completely ridiculous with a plank sticking out of their eye, pointing out the faults and errors in someone else's life. And so Jesus is saying, well, this is the problem. If you're going to judge someone like that, just be aware of the issues in your own life before you go judging someone else. There's the old Native American proverb that says that before we judge another person, we should try and walk a mile in their moccasins. I don't know if you've heard that saying before. Walk a mile in their shoes first. Everyone has their own struggles going on. Everyone has things going on in their life that perhaps none of us know about. So before we judge anyone, we should perhaps pause and think for a minute. What is that person going through? And actually, what am I blind to in my life? Because this gets to the heart of the matter. That what Jesus is talking about here is spiritual blindness. That we can be very quick to judge another person's sins, perhaps without being aware of the sin in our own life. Jesus has a specific word for that, and it's a very uncomfortable word. In verse 5, he says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." These are stern words from Jesus. And the word hypocrite literally means, it comes from the Greek plays, when an actor would wear a mask over their face and there would be some kind of fixed expression like a frown or a smile, and of course the actor behind could be making any kind of expression, but all you would see is what was on the outside. In other words, what's on the inside is not what you see on the outside. So Jesus is saying, don't be like that, like an actor, like somebody who's just playing at Christianity or playing at faith. But first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You see, this parable is all about perspective. In order to judge somebody rightly and justly, you first need to judge yourself. And perhaps that's not something that we're all very good at doing. Jesus doesn't forbid judging in principle, but he warns us that before we judge, we need to be aware of our own blindness to our own personal sin. And this parable goes right to the heart of the human condition. You know, when I mentioned that the word hypocrite, it makes me feel very uncomfortable. I'm sure it makes lots of people feel uncomfortable when you hear that word, because we are probably too quick to maybe think of other people, if we're being honest, when we hear that word. Lots of people say, the reason I don't go to church is because the church is full of hypocrites. There may be a tiny bit of truth to that in some cases, in certain cases. Maybe people have had a bad experience of church. But before we go calling someone else a hypocrite, we really have to look at our own lives. We have to look at ourselves first. What if I'm the biggest hypocrite? What if I am judging other people by a greater measure than I judge myself? The teaching of Jesus is meant to disturb us. It's meant to make us a little bit uncomfortable, because Jesus wants to unsettle us. He wants us to be unsettled about our own sin, that we take it seriously, that this is not just something that doesn't matter. It's a matter of life and death, of eternal life or eternal death in hell. It is as serious as that. And when we judge people wrongly, or we feel uncomfortable about even hearing that word hypocrite that Jesus uses, it's because people who are first to complain about being judged are sometimes the people who are doing wrong, and they know that they're doing wrong, and they don't like other people pointing it out to them. I don't know if you've noticed that before. And so Jesus actually leaves us all on a level playing field in this parable. Both those who judge and those who think, oh, that's what other people do. Jesus doesn't allow us to to get off with that. Jesus exposes all of our sins at the most basic level. And what Jesus wants us to do is to look at people through God's eyes. One of God's attributes in the Bible is mercy. God is merciful. And in Jesus' teaching of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, Jesus says, be merciful as God is merciful towards you, that we are to remember the mercy of God towards us, that God gave his Son, who died on the cross for our sins, to show us his mercy and his forgiveness. We deserve judgment by God, all of us, but God chose to give us mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't think your sin is that serious, if you don't think, if you think somebody else's sin is far worse than yours, then look at the cross. Did Jesus die for no reason on that cross? Was your sin not serious enough for him to die? The horror of the cross shows us the seriousness of all of our sins. And so God wants us to show mercy to one another by the same mercy that he has shown to us. And the prime attribute of a disciple of Jesus, of a godly person, is humility. Humility is the first step towards God. Peter, in his first letter, says, God pushes away the proud, in so many words. God rejects the proud but receives the humble. God loves humility, and when we are humble, that is the first step towards recognizing our sin and recognizing that God is holy, that we are not, and that we need his forgiveness and mercy. And when we are humble and honest about our own sin, then we can see clearly to judge the other person with the same mercy and compassion. It's a loving thing to point out to someone who has wandered away from God's path that they are on the wrong track. And if you want to call that judging another person, then that's what it is. But that is a loving thing to do. To call someone back into God's path, to God's road, to following Jesus, it is a loving thing to do. But before you go pointing out someone else's sins, make sure that you have judged your own heart first. The great American preacher and revivalist Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the main preachers during what's called the Great Awakening in America in the 18th century in New Hampshire, in the east coast of America, he would spend at least an hour every single day recalling his own sins from the day before. He did that every morning when he got up, so that if he did have to make judgments, if he did have to call someone back to Jesus to repent from their sin and turn back to God, he knew that his heart was in the right place to do that. And that's the very same thing that Jesus wants us to do, to look at our own heart, to remember God's mercy, to be humble before him. before we judge anyone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us today in the teaching of Jesus. The parables which can disturb us and leave us with questions, but if we dig deep into their truth, they lead us into an even closer relationship with you, to truly know who you are and who we are as human beings. So Lord, we pray that as we come to the end of our time of worship today, you would draw us into a closer relationship and friendship with yourself as we learn more about ourselves, about our own sinfulness, about your mercy, about what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and how we show mercy and compassion to one another, not judging one another, not being quick to judge, but being quicker to look into our own hearts. And Lord, when that judging thought enters our mind, when we're about to say something that we really shouldn't, cause us to pause, cause us to wait and think, and to look inward at ourselves first. So Lord, may your blessing be upon us. And now may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen. Well, we come to the end of our online worship today. And if anybody wants to join with us on Zoom for a chat afterwards, I'll give you a couple of minutes to grab a coffee. And there's a link in the description on Facebook to this post, and you just follow the link there to come on Zoom. And if not, hopefully see you in a couple of weeks' time. Remember, the beginning of the not this week, but the following week, you'll be able to book for the service in the church. But if you can't make it, there will be a live stream at 6:30 on Sunday evening on the 25th of October. So take care, everyone, and I'll see you again soon. Bye now.